In a family business, there's often expectation or even demand that the first child grows to lead the company. My guest today broke free of these family bonds and today now heads one of the most recognizable U.S. brands. This is YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. I'm Kevin Daum, and each week I bring you insights from the world's top executives of YPO, all made possible with grants from Gazelle's Growth Institute, www.growthinstitute.com. YPO member Won Kim grew up in a traditional conservative South Korean family. His father ran a successful electronics business. After Won graduated from Boston University and received his MBA from UC Irvine, his father expected Won to return home to Korea and take his place in the company. But Won was determined to create his own path. He discovered the Smoothie King brand as a student in the U.S. and began his entrepreneurial journey as a franchisee in Seoul, South Korea. Within 10 years, Won had grown a network of 130 Smoothie King franchises in a country that previously didn't even know what a smoothie was. In 2012, Won worked with the original entrepreneur and bought the entire Smoothie King company, and today has achieved considerable success by growing the business to more than 500 branches. In 2017, Ernst & Young named Won Entrepreneur of the Year. Won, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
What's a nice Korean man like you doing in a place like this in New Orleans?
So I'm not sure whether I'm the really nice Korean man, but it's interesting to live in New Orleans because we do have a really unique culture down here. One thing that I do believe we have a common in culture between New Orleans and Korea really is they both are very family oriented. I do see that a lot of people down here care about family more than any parts of the United States, I would say, and they stick together.
So you bought the whole of Smoothie King.
That's right.
The franchisor.
Uh-huh. And back in 2012.
Did you think you were going to do that?
I really like this concept by doing it because it's not only you make money, but also you feel good about what you are selling. So by actually 2011, I asked founder and a CEO at the time whether he was thinking about retiring.
And how old was he at the time?
About 63.
Right. So old enough to consider it, but not an old enough to require it.
So yeah. He did not really take it wrongly, but he did say that, one, if I ever want to retire, I will definitely put your name on the top list.
What percentage of stores of the overall Smoothie King franchise, how many stores did you have?
So we had about 110 at the time, and entire system had less than 500.
And were you outperforming the other franchises significantly?
Our AUV was more than double. So we were definitely doing pretty well. And one day when I woke up, I got the email and he was like, Juan, can you come and we can talk about what you proposed? And then it took a few months to finalize it. And I was able to close the deal in 2012.
You've expanded quite a bit in the five years, right?
We did. But we've been really focusing in United States. So we do have franchises in Middle East, and then we have some stores in Caribbean island, but that's pretty much it. We don't believe we need to really expand to international market yet because we do believe there is a good growth in this country.
How many stores today?
Today, 935.
So you've almost doubled.
Right.
How did the other franchisees take that? People don't like change generally, so.
So let's talk about changes because when I bought this business, I knew we had to change a lot. I mean, I understand what our founder did. He founded this brand, and when he get older and older, he just did not want to take any more risk. So it's very similar to my father.
Yeah, you'd already had a little bit of a path
exactly,
on that.
Right?
Yeah.
So he just did not want to do anything. So I knew the brand was stalling, and when I bought it, what we did was we actually surveyed about 8,000 people, and we wanted to find out what our guests think of Smoothie King, what they like, what they don't like. At the same time, we did also 4 focus groups in 4 different cities. We asked them more in depth what they want us to do.
This was the end user customer. Did you
That's
do the
right.
same kind of thing with the existing franchises?
So we didn't go to the franchisees individually, but then we have FAC, which is a franchise association committee. So we talked to them. These are the findings and these are the changes that we think we are going to make. What do you think? And trust me, even changing our logo. So when we did survey, a lot of people said our old logo looked more like oil change companies. And I can picture that. So when we presented that we are going to change our logo, a lot of franchises, especially legacy franchises, they were like, oh my God, you don't understand.
It was either that or start offering oil changes when they come in for a smoothie.
Right. But at the end, changes are hard. Yeah. And a lot of people have the fear, what if it doesn't go well?
Yeah.
But then we made a lot of changes based on what we found. And thank God, from 2013 to 2016, our average unit volume went by 50%, and our store counts went up by 80%.
What is the biggest difference you find between running an operation of 100 stores versus running an operation of nearly 1,000 stores?
The biggest thing I will say is whenever you talk about changes, I need to really get the buy-in from franchises. And the best way to do so, in my opinion, is really keep communicating whether they like it or not about the change. I will be communicating why I'm doing it, and I will be presenting whatever the data I have, and I will be very transparent.
So you're a young man. You've got great success. This is moving along its path. What do you look at as the next objective? Is it just the growth of Smoothie King?
So we have great mission and vision for this company. Our mission is inspire people to live a healthy and active lifestyle. And our vision is we want to be the integral part of every health and fitness journey. When you think about our mission and vision, and we really do take care of our mission and vision, meaning whenever we make any decisions in our leadership team, we go back to our mission and vision, and we try to align with it. Speaking of that, we believe if we can have more stores than McDonald's in the future, we believe the world can be a different place. And under our vision, we'll try to expand and grow so that the world can be a better place.
And by the way, do any of your kids want to come and run the business?
So I don't think so, because this is what I learned. When I was in college, when I was growing up, my father was always telling me, son, you will succeed my business, so this is going to be your future. And I thought about that because the problem is when you know what you are going to do, it kind of puts you in a position where you don't want to go extra miles, right? Because you don't have to. You know your life is sad. You feel like, oh my God, that's the nest, right? I just need to put my body into that nest. And that's why I don't want to create the nest to my kids where I don't want them to feel comfortable. I want them to do their best in any given day. In order for me to create that environment, I have to let them know that you are on your own.
Juan, it's time for our rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Yes, please.
What is your favorite question to ask when you meet someone new?
Let's say you have a time machine. You can only use once. You can only choose to go back. How are you gonna use it and why?
Name three of your personal core values.
Self-driven, passionate, discipline.
Who's had the greatest impact on you as a leader?
My father. He has just taught me so much about who I am now, and I really think I admire him in many ways.
What is your favorite business book?
I don't read business books, unless it's a business case or somebody's real story.
What are you reading right now?
There is a book about the war in Korea right now, because there are a lot of tension between North Korea and South Korea. So there are a lot of books about that. So I'm reading that right now.
What is the one leadership trait that brings success?
Discipline.
What is the one leadership trait that kills success?
I think still the most important thing about our organization is really mission and vision, and everybody has to align with it.
Name one daily behavior that will help a leader grow.
I exercise a lot, and I think it's a really good behavior, because not only, you know, you are maintaining your health, but also waking up early. I always make a lot of good decisions in the early morning because no one is really bothering you, disturbing you, and it's your own time.
Name one trait that makes an employee valuable.
Recognition.
What's your strangest daily habit?
My wife will probably tell you a few that she doesn't like. First of all, she doesn't like that me waking up at 5:30 because it always wakes her up. When I tell you that I wake up early, that means I go to bed really early. And she's like, Juan, really? You want to go to bed now? And yeah, because I need to wake up at 5:30.
What's the best way to show employees appreciation?
You recognize them.
Well, I certainly want to thank you for doing a great job today, Juan. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to Gazelle's Growth Institute for underwriting this program. Learn more at growthinstitute.com. Join me next week when I'll be interviewing YPO member David H. McKinley. He'll share how he's helping revitalize the economy of an entire region. I'm Kevin Daum, and you're listening to YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. To learn more about YPO, please visit www.ypo.org.